All right, for the sake of everyone's time, we'll call the meeting to order. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to the agenda?
I move that the agenda be approved as presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor of approving the presented agenda, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Mr. Haynes.
Mr. Haynes is well ago sitting there. I just want to come and tell you that there's a change of leadership in the Powder River Fire District. I'm the acting fire chief. And there was a discrepancy before that we would not respond to auto accidents or anything down there. That's changed. Anytime KCMS needs anything, we will respond to it. So, any questions, you can contact me.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Are you sure that's all you want to say?
Yeah, that's it. I talked to Crosby and Michelle today, and they understand where we're at.
And dispatch is aware of that too?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Wonderful. They will be.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. I read through all of the minutes, and I had no corrections or additions to anything that were presented. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to the minutes?
No, it's usually like word for word.
Yeah. So, then I was like, oh, I didn't do that.
I'm
going to
make a motion
that.
To approve the minutes as written.
Okay. Can I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor of approving the minutes as presented, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Dr. Schuler and the Treasurer's Report.
It was a good month for the Rural Healthcare District. We're a little behind on tax revenue. That's just a matter of when they come in. Overall, 50% through the fiscal year, our revenues, our adjusted revenues are 44%. So we're close to target. We're actually ahead of budget on ambulance revenue, interest income, and motor vehicle fees. So all in all, our revenue stream is good. And our expenses, adjusted expenses, and I'll explain that if that's necessary. We've budgeted in a grant of $875,000, which hasn't been received yet, and also $250,000 from reserve to purchase a new ambulance. So these are items that are in our budget, both for revenue and expenses. But if you take those out, you can actually look at operating revenue and expenses, which gives us a better idea of where we are at this point in the year. So by reversing those from both income and expenses, our current expenses adjust at 40%, which is below our budget for 6 months into the fiscal year. I did have one question, or at least a comment to make, and that is our collection fees should parallel our ambulance income, and our contract is for 10% of revenues, but we've been charged more for collection fees than we've collected so far in income, and I don't know if that's just statements from previously that are being caught up, or if we've been overcharged. But if we generated ambulance revenue thus far of $217,000, 10% of that would be $21,700. But we have spent $25,435, and I don't understand where the additional $4,000 charges from our collection company came from. But
it's possible that the July statement invoice from
23
that we paid in July would have been for revenue that was in June, so there could be an overlap there. But I'll look back and see.
Okay.
let you know.
Okay. The KC budget is at 43%, which is below what we've budgeted for expenses this far. There was a little bit of an increase in payroll, and it's at 58%, and that reflects the bonuses that were paid. So overall, our budget will be on budget, but that came up a little bit in the last month.
Looks good.
Our cash position is, with our combined checking accounts and money market, $983,928, and our combined value of CDs, $1,032,446. Those will automatically renew in March. And interest rates have increased. The only reason not to renew one or both of those would be if we anticipate using money from the CD to cover the expense of the building. And I'm not sure what the timeline will be. That's 14 months from now. In the meantime, there's a good 4 to 4.5% interest on that money that can be collected by rolling it into another CD. So we've got a couple months to think about that. That's all I have.
I move that the treasurer's report be approved as presented.
Second.
All in favor of approving the presented treasurer's report, please signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Buffalo director's report, please.
The ambulance calls, first of all. We had 56 calls in December, 44 were medical, 12 trauma. A total of 10 transfers. One of those was an out-of-county transfer. Three were to Billings, two to Casper, two to Sheridan, two to the airport, and the out-of-county was to Billings. 33 were in-town calls, 23 out-of-town, 48 Johnson County residents, 8 non-residents, 4 canceled calls, 12 patient refusals, 1 standby, and 1 trauma team activation. 23 of those calls were billed to Medicare, 4 to Medicaid, 7 to private insurance, 1 to the VA, 3 were self-pay. The mileage is listed there for the ambulances. We are going to have a case review with Dr. Goddard tomorrow. We meet with him every other month. I think on the off month that he's meeting with him. Doing a case review, and then he has approved our updated protocols, so we're going to be rolling those out. And it's a large, voluminous document, and it's going to be available on the iPads. And then if you touch, it has the link. So if you say trauma burns, you just touch on that and it will advance to the page because it's over 200 pages long. And Kelly Buckingham has been instrumental in getting that up and running. So I'd like to thank her. And then we're going to go over spider straps and the Lucas device where we review the skills and then we time them because it's a time sensitive. Matter, so we'll do that tomorrow. Our EMTB course finished up late December. We had 7 students that passed the class and will go on to take the NREMT. It's a process between the time that they pass the class and they get approval from the state to take the NREMT. So they're applying for all those necessary steps. The class was held at the City Hall, and I'd like to thank the City of Buffalo for allowing us to meet there twice a week with our students. They didn't take any kind of payment, and I'm sure it was, we were left some garbage behind, and it wasn't as convenient as not having someone there that often, but we do appreciate that. So I'd like to thank the mayor and the city council and the staff for allowing that. We are going to have an advanced EMT class. It's in the process of being approved by the state. Our target start date is January 22nd. We welcome anyone from KC or the region to take that. I think we have 4 or 5 students. The schedule is going to be, once again, twice a week, and the times, we're going to be flexible and work with the people taking it and see what works best for them. And I just have a question or a comment. I know with our EMTB class, Buffalo EMS paid for the instructor and all the supplies, and the students had to pay for their book and online access. And we were going to try to do a contract similar to what you guys did with the KC, but I'd like to think about that for our A class, and then we'd like to have a B class in the fall as well. I just would like to see or know how that contract ended up, because I don't have a copy of it, and I don't know, was it effective in keeping people to take the class? No. How many people did you have?
We had 4 people that have taken the National Registry, 2 that have passed it.
Yeah. Out of how many started with the contract?
8 or 9.
Yeah. So, with that being said, we had 1, I think, in the last class that we should get some reimbursement if we had that person sign that contract. But the others, they will follow through on.
We have 2 of them that are showing up for everything and doing calls and things like that.
Well, we were just curious if that made a difference. And,
No.
It might not be worth that.
And initially, even asking any of them to be responsible, we got the kind of a finger of, I am volunteering all this time. You need me, I don't need you. So it's a ton of time to ask somebody to volunteer for those classes.
Right. And so the contract really isn't, that they didn't really agree to it.
Okay. And maybe you'll have better, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know a solution for that.
Yeah.
I think it's the same with college students. They start something, they put in that kind of money, or they get grants, or they either follow through or they don't.
Yeah. Well, this class we had, I think we started with 10, and 2 dropped out after the first day, just figured out it wasn't for them. But so our attrition rate really was better this time than ever.
That's good.
But in terms of passing the NREMT, I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, we are having classes, and
it's great.
And we'd like to have an intermediate class after this next A class as well. So we're just kind of spacing that out. I know Campbell County is having an intermediate class that someone offered if we had anyone. I don't know if we have anyone ready for that yet.
But hey, Carrie, remind me on the, do they let any of the basics that just pass go straight into the A?
They do know.
Okay.
Yes.
And are some of these folks interested in just continuing?
Yeah, 1 or 2.
Okay.
Really, it's a
jump.
It's a big jump. But basically, you learn
over again, the basic, you're taught that. The book is twice as large, and so a lot of it would be review, but it is a time commitment. I think 135 hours of classroom, plus all your skills. So
if you were going to add everything together, instructors, books, taking the test, what would a EMT have to spend, or someone spend, to become an advanced EMT?
Well, starting with the basic class, I would say that could easily cost $500 to $900, depending on if you take it from a college or a private entity like we have. So $1,000, let's say, for the basic, plus an NREMT test of $100, if you pass it the first time, and then another $1,000 or two to take the advanced class, and that would include the textbook and the online access. It's costly, and if you want that to be your career, it might be a worthwhile investment. But if it's something that you're going to volunteer for or be a paid volunteer on a part-time basis, it might not pencil out. So it's hard to ask someone to give up all that time and money for the pay.
Well, the hospital has a foundation that pays for nursing education. They used to just reimburse all the costs, and then you hoped they would fulfill their two-year obligation, and some didn't. Now they get it back as they fulfill the obligation, so there's an opportunity to get reimbursed for all your costs after you've put in your time. And that might be something that's worthwhile to the district in terms of trying to recruit and retain. We're not out anything if they don't work here, because they have to work here first to get it back. And it'll always be tough to find enough people.
So, Carrie, I got a question for you. So we were on the same H Healthcare Coalition call, and you got a grant for $1,300 and some odd from the Healthcare Coalition.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
Telling the board about.
Yeah. We applied for a grant, Buffalo EMS applied for a grant through the Region 1 Healthcare Coalition. I applied in December, but they said, well, for some CPR trainers for infant and pediatric. We had two adults, but we didn't have the new... ours were not, we couldn't use those anymore. They were obsolete. They needed to have the feedback on them. So I proposed at the December meeting four trainers and then some EPI trainers. And they suggested that I return in January and request that with some disposables, because you have to change out the lungs every so often. You have the masks. You have a lot of disposables that I originally didn't even think about. And so they doubled the grant, essentially.
Nice.
And that includes an AED trainer as well. So
awesome.
Yes, we're very thankful for them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Good.
Marilyn was in attendance in person, I noticed, because Marilyn has been attending at those meetings
since they started.
Years. Yeah.
I had to take the new guy that's taken my place, took him over there to meet those folks.
Okay.
Awesome.
Great.
Okay.
So,
that's all I have.
Thank you. Casey, director's report.
We had 6 total calls, 5 total patients, 1 trauma, 4 medical, 2 under death and refusals, and 1 was a public assist. We did get some Samson strap lifting devices. They're like a strap with handles that go under like the buttocks of somebody in their back.
in order to lift like the elderly, frail little people up off the ground, it just kind of stabilizes them a little bit better instead of trying to hold their arms and the gait belt that comes up over their heads. And those items were purchased. We are working on the training schedule for this year with Dr. Goddard, with his schedule in Sheridan and your guys' stuff. So we used to do our trainings the first Tuesday of every month, but that may not work out to just have them be on there. So we're trying to work out with him so to make sure that we are on dates with him as well. Just one note that we had, and I don't know a solution for this one either or who should have been dispatched to it. An ambulance was called out for somebody who needed assistance to walk up their stairs. I'm not sure how that's a medical thing.
So I actually met with dispatch today, and they called 911 and said they needed EMS assist, like that they had called 911. And so they kind of treated it as a lift assist. I told them they need to continue to dispatch, because if they say, no, we're not dispatching anyone, that comes back as a huge liability.
Right.
And so they were kind of like, I guess their question was, what do we do if we don't we just say, sorry, call someone else? I mean, they called 911. And so I think that's where sort of that communication that we need to make sure we continue to have with dispatch lies is to say, what did you want them to do? I think is kind of the question. If they didn't dispatch the ambulance, they, like I said, they kind of treated it as a lift assist, because they didn't, the couple had called 911.
I don't know. We get out there and this couple literally was like, I need you to take my dog up the stairs. I can't walk up the stairs. I'm not going to lift your dog that's trying to bite me. I'm not. Wrapped it in a blanket, tried. She was more than capable of getting out of her vehicle. I reiterated several times, you do not need any medical assistance. Nothing is wrong with you. Nothing is happening. Nope. It's just dark. I can't get up these stairs with my dog. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was nobody else like in our county to call. Like, I was like, well,
law enforcement couldn't help her.
Yeah, law enforcement wasn't on duty at the time.
I think that's where they were like, they had to.
And so they called out an ambulance. So yeah. Here we are out there.
Probably law enforcement should go take them up.
But law enforcement is, yeah.
But I think dispatch did what they needed to do. And then
you, but, I said, you're in the catch 22 there.
But then you guys go out and I think it's, have you guys been using the lift assist forms or the same agreement?
Yeah, but that wasn't a lift assist. That wasn't.
Well, I think similar, maybe similar nothing. Education, just to say, hey, this isn't what we're here for. But if you know,
and hopefully that's rare situation that hopefully never happens again.
Sign this refusal, and
I did. I tried to. I was like, I'm not going to get bit by your dog. I'm sorry. I'm just not.
Yeah, I think. You know, with dispatch, like I said, they had called 911, and so the dispatch is kind of in a rough spot to say, hey, sorry, we're not going to send anybody, like, you're on your own. You know, they can't really do that either, because that's a huge liability for them. And so I think with the information dispatch received, they did what they could do.
Maybe there's a way for people like that to have the direct line to, you know, the regular number that dispatchers answer that's not a 911.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe these people could have that number.
Well, and I think hopefully maybe now too, if they called 911 the first time, maybe you guys know, like, hey, if we're dispatched to that place again, you know, we know it might not be, we can maybe just hop in our private vehicle and run and help them up the steps or whatever it is. But I think dispatch-wise, I think they, you know, paged EMS because that's all they.
I don't know who they should have paged at that point, but I'm like, that's not an EMS medical problem because you can't get you and your dog up your stairs.
Yeah.
It's a tough call.
It is a very tough call.
Hopefully it's not a call that happens again. And
I figured that it probably will.
Yeah.
With this.
Well, and the nice thing is dispatch does a really good job of sort of documenting everything that they
yes.
do. And so then they can go back and say, hey, you know, and the other thing too is it helps is it might be a case where a social worker maybe needs to start getting involved in terms of maybe this person isn't okay to continue living home alone or however it is that happens. Yeah. So, but yes, that was mentioned with dispatch. And like I said, I think everyone did their due diligence as best they could with the information that they had, unfortunately. So hopefully we'll just continue with that. And all right. Anything else from Casey?
I was just going to go back and give you some prices with the Campbell County stuff. So an AEMT, IEMT class runs about $1,400. That includes your PALS, your ACLS testing, all your certs for that.
You said IE, intermediate.
Like your I.
Intermediate.
Okay.
Intermediate stuff. It is accredited through the state that through Campbell County is. So I don't know if it's the Healthcare Coalition or if it's one of the volunteer coalitions for EMS. It does qualify for grants for them to pay your tuition. You have to apply for them way ahead before the class
yeah.
starts. That's the only caveat to that. And they do allow scholarships for that, and they will pay the 100% of the scholarship for it. With that one, because it's been accredited and it's
mm-hmm.
through all that stuff.
Is it through the college there?
It's not through the college. It's
through Campbell County
EMS.
Health.
Yeah. yeah. George Bondera is who runs that class. He's run it. He has ran it for a very long time. So he's got the curriculum down.
Yeah.
And then it usually costs them about $950 a person to do the BLS classes.
I think the last time I checked at Casper College, AEMT, the basic was like $1,500.
It is. It's $1,500 for the course, and that just includes your BLS.
Yeah. And you got to buy your own books and everything.
Yep.
Thank you.
So it's a lot cheaper to do it.
True. Yeah. Okay. Moving on to old business, new building. I've been getting emails trickling in, and then I just talked to someone yesterday who is going to be on the building committee as well. So I think now that I kind of have the list of everyone, we can get started with, I kind of thought that maybe a good time would be during the day to meet with Nelson Engineering, just because that's business working hours for them. So I'll get with everyone who has shown interest so far and see if we can kind of come to a general consensus as to a good time, and we will move forward with that. I have no other updates on the new building for that. I'm going to go ahead and kind of talk about the grant paperwork, because it does apply to the new building. Marilyn met with Teresa and I before the meeting, and we just kind of went through. There's a lot of paperwork that needs to be turned in terms of submitting vouchers and things like that. So we do need to use the ARPA funds first, and then we can move, once that is 100% matched or 100% utilized, then we'll move to the State Land and Investment Board, the mineral royalty grant. And so there's just a lot of behind the scenes paperwork in terms of signing and vouchers. And so we have to hand sign them, and the form that they show shows the treasurer as one of the signatures. And then I'm assuming the chairman would be the second signature. And so we will just work on those as we get things coming in. We did pay Nelson Engineering our first payment for that. So we will, we kind of talked about maybe submitting something quarterly. It just kind of all depends on how many vouchers we end up with as it starts to come along. So that is moving along. Billing company. Dr. Schuler, I'll move that to you.
Well, there were three vendors who were interested in an internet inquiry about ambulance billing, and they responded surprisingly quickly, within minutes in some days. Within 24 hours, they had all contacted me, and I exchanged many emails and some phone calls, and there were two that looked to be affordable and efficient, with a lot of services that they serve, and I talked with Carrie about those people, and there weren't many differences other than one was charging 7% and one was charging 6%, and then it's kind of personalities and availability. Do they answer the phone when you call them? And I thought there were some technical aspects of the arrangement that I didn't understand as far as the electronic interface between our documents and the finances, and there's a lot of moving parts. So Carrie and I met up, and I kind of told her what I knew and gave her contact information, and at this point I felt like she was better qualified to evaluate these companies and these representatives and see who would be a better fit. So they haven't been bothering me anymore. I'm assuming you sort of deflected all those inquiries.
Well, and to be honest, I did not reach out to, or I did not hear back from the, I think, the gentleman's name that you had given me.
But Aaron and Lori were the two that I remember.
Yeah, and but I did send an email to everyone saying that we had a Zoom meeting, 30-minute Zoom meeting, just kind of question and answer, and that I was very happy with her responses, and felt like they were more customer-oriented than profit-driven. I know they need profits, but so do we, and so that's a good thing. So because they work on a percentage, the percentage is lower. You know, I think it will take a period of 3 months. That QuickMed Claims has said that they will allow us. I think Brittany, you gave them the notice. And so the end is February 19th, the last date they bill those calls. But then February 20th, the new company would bill. But of course, there's, you know, 3 months of follow-up for the February 19th calls. So we're
And QuickMed said that they are going to continue, that they will follow up with everything. So I talked to the gal, and she responded in seconds, and then she called me, and then another person called me, and so they went to this ticket system, which they were hoping that the ticket system was going to sort of help with the time delay of things, and I just really just, when I talked to Sandy, I just let her know our concerns, and I let her know about the whole Nebraska Johnson County thing that occurred, and that, correct me if I'm wrong, it was the Nebraska company that reached out to us, not the actual QuickMed Claims. And then I kind of just talked about 2 years down the line, we're losing all this money because we can't bill things that people are just getting billed for. And so she said, and I had her email me, like, just so I had a paper trail of everything. And she said that as soon as our contract ends, they will continue to, and she actually wanted to know the name of who we hire now, because she said, I want to be able to work with them directly in terms of sending them everything with the after we're done with them. So just remind me of that as we move forward. We do need to give that to Sandy. Said she's kind of our liaison for QuickMed Claims, and that she wants the name of the new person so they can work together as anything that comes through afterward.
Did we have a liaison before we said we were firing?
Well, I had always had this Sandy's number, yeah.
We actually, at the beginning, had one or two people that were excellent, and then they went into they had a different portal, and they wanted you to upload questions or documents. And then they went into a ticket system, which was contrary to the uploading, and if it wasn't encrypted, you couldn't send anything. So it was problematic. But in the last year, we probably had five different representatives that just didn't answer their phones. So, and the Johnson City, I think, in Nebraska, those calls, there were eight or nine of them, have been put on closed per QuickMed claims. Even they originally billed it for Johnson City. Even though they know the problem, they did not rebill them for Johnson County.
So we haven't been reimbursed for any of those?
Well, one came in through Blue Cross because Johnson City actually received a check in the mail.
So we need
from Blue Cross Blue Shield to them, and they sent it back to QuickMed Claims saying this is not ours. But I don't know if that was deposited to us. I would imagine it would be sent back to Blue Cross, and then QuickMed Claims is responsible for rebilling under our name. But I think they're in such a disarray, to be honest, that
sounds like it.
Who
has the email of like the Nebraska person that reached out?
I do.
Could you email so then I can talk to them, and then because
I
didn't realize that we that way we can talk to. I'll talk to Sandy because she was pretty. She acted like she didn't know anything about the Nebraska thing. Because
I have a several page document of what. History, kind of a journal of what's gone on.
Okay.
And I sent that to QuickMed Claims.
And we haven't heard
as
it.
Well, and they. No.
Okay.
Well, at least two people left emails when we became aware of this to try to contact Sandy, and I never received any.
Oh,
response.
You did too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, I left a phone message.
Yeah, it wasn't for lack of trying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I just caught it on a good day.
Okay.
Yes.
Johnson City.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it ties into this or not, because I don't know how this works. But yeah, can I see that, Teresa? Mm-hmm. You got this phone call from a gal in KC or Natrona County School District, lives in KC, I think, talking about she has Cigna through Natrona County School District. And her ambulance call, I think, was a KC call. But this letter says that Cigna's not in our network, however that works. So what do we do when we get local people? It says, says you receive care from a provider who isn't part of our Cigna network. What do we do when we have local people that use local services? How do we get Cigna or any other insurance company into our
network?
Or us into
their network.
They
should be.
Do we have to write a letter?
You're the insurance guy. How do we do that, Adam?
I mean, that's more through, I mean, the hospital and insurance company's contracts. But Cigna's, I mean, pretty big in the state.
Yeah.
I mean, the state uses them. All these school districts use them. I mean, so most Cigna should be in network almost everywhere. So I think maybe it's just a fact of following up. They, you know, they need to follow up on it or resubmit it, or maybe it got coded wrong. But I'd be surprised that Cigna would be out of network.
We would be out of network.
The question is, we do have a contract with Blue Cross Blue Shield where we discount or charge off, just like we do for Medicare, anything above and beyond what's considered customary. Blue Cross is a lot more
than Medicare, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Cigna, other entities in this
it county might be
have
United
Cigna,
Healthcare,
and they are paid. It's just they're probably not paid at
the rate they
the rate that this person would want if they're in network. Now, it's probably because it's a Natrona County school district policy and not Johnson County, I don't know, but I'm sure they wouldn't have declined the entire payment. The problem is now the patient probably
right.
has a, not only a deductible, but a higher.
And that's what's going
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they just wanted to let us, and I told her just to fax this
yeah.
or email this, because they just wanted to let us know that that's what's going on, and that it may be a while before they can get it paid.
Well, and honestly, when we transition to the new billing company, maybe we can say, because Cigna is a large company,
mm-hmm.
what do you recommend having a contract with them, and what would you feel is customary and... it might be to our benefit because they might negotiate a higher rate.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that stuff.
I think it's a good question when
right?
we transition to the billing company and then we can say we're working
but
on it.
The problem is going to be if she's saying I might have trouble paying this bill, is that's technically not us. It's QuickClaims that's going to send her to collections if she doesn't pay the bill, not
mm-hmm.
us.
Right, but we have the ability to either waive some of that or not, I think, at some point. Or we used to. I can't remember what we've done, what we did most recently with that.
Does it show what was covered and what
no,
remains?
No, it's just
the letter.
A person would have to get a hold of her and find
mm-hmm.
out for sure what she had in mind.
And the other thing to ask her also is this, if her insurance is a balance billing type insurance, because some insurance companies will pay what Medicare will pay, and then it's on the you as the person who has
yeah.
the insurance to submit your EOB along with your bill to get your insurance to pay the balance billing when, like us as providers, will not accept that as payment in full.
I don't think the school district with Cigna would have reference-based pricing like that, though, so, but who knows.
Okay. So, are we, you, I mean, I think we need to probably vote this meeting to move forward with that gal. Do you both feel, I hate to put this all on you guys, in case it doesn't work out.
Switch again.
Well, I think that was the best option
yeah.
of what I analyzed.
Is it a company or just a private
she
woman?
She's the CEO of
oh,
her
okay.
company doing this.
Okay.
So
yeah.
she's got a lot of skin in the game.
Was this the 7% or 6%?
So the 6%.
6%. And was the 7% the other gal?
No.
Was that the gentleman?
That's Aaron. And I think they're both in the Dallas area.
Okay.
And I think he's part of a larger group.
And then the third one, there was one more gal or something that she wasn't maybe as responsive.
Yeah, there was one other male individual who initially replied and then had some questions about wanted to see some of our statements or something. And I forwarded that, and then I didn't hear back again. So I don't know what that means, but I strongly favor people who call you back in
yeah.
general. And that was the case with Lori Freeman, who seemed like a someone who wanted to expand her business and provide customer service.
Can you the name of the business just so we can formally
yeah,
vote?
I'm trying to find that.
I have this sheet from Dr. Schuler.
Oh.
It says, originally, Total Practice Strategies in Dallas, Texas. Does that sound correct?
It does.
Yes.
February 20th start. Can I entertain a motion to have Lore Total Practice Strategies become our new billing company starting February 20th?
So moved.
I second it.
So we have a motion and a second to have Total Practice Strategies become our billing company beginning February 20th. All those in favor of that, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. So can we figure out, I'm sure they're going to have a signed letter of agreement and everything, and then we can get that moving.
Thanks for helping with that, Carrie.
I did indicate to her that we would be having a meeting and that thought that would be when we would be able to make that decision, and so I would bet she'll call me first thing in the morning.
Oh, okay.
I'll email her.
Okay.
And then she'll give us an enormous amount of paperwork to to DocuSign or something and read, and I'll just forward that to everyone.
Yeah. And then if you could let her know that QuickMed Claims wants to have her contact to be working with them, wonderful. Okay. Transfers, I mean, we kind of just keep that on the agenda to monitor the number of transfers so we can be aware of that come budget time. So I have no new information for that as we continue discussing that.
The request was a couple months ago or a few months ago that we look at the percentage on that, and then we kept kicking it down the road without a response.
We can't do anything. I mean, we can look at it. We can't really do anything until budget time, as we didn't budget for all of it. We can talk about it now. I haven't. Did anyone think about it?
Were you gonna? You and Dave were gonna put together some more information for us to look at.
I put together the data. But in terms of
the payroll data, right, that you sent us, like the cost.
Yeah, that I put together the cost.
But I think you were going to do something about what you budgeted
suggested.
For. And
yes. Yeah. And I think at one point we suggested, 15% of the transfers, all transfers, then Dr. Schuller had expressed that maybe it's easier to figure if it's you submit expenses after so many on average. But we were going to leave that up to Dr. Schuller to kind of work through the proposal of what he felt we could receive, and if you want that to wait till budget time, we're almost there, to be honest. We have to start working in March.
Yep.
I'll continue to give you data.
I'll share my thoughts on this. The last month had a fairly normal number of transfers. There were 9. They generate a lot of revenue. They also require a lot of fuel and labor cost. When you do 27 transfers in a month, you generate a lot of revenue for which the Buffalo Ambulance is paying fuel and paying salary, but not recouping any of that. That's pure profit to the district. And currently, district is on schedule to be $35,000 ahead on budget. We're $17,400 right now for 6 months. Majority of that increased revenue is transfer revenue. So the district's making a profit. Buffalo EMS is losing because their overhead is going up. So to be equitable, if this current contract is based on an assumption of 8 or 10 transfers a month, and they do 27 in a month, their expenses go way up. Mm-hmm. The district makes money. and they would still make money if they reimbursed Buffalo EMS for fuel and hours of labor. They would have nothing at risk because if there were no extra transfers, there would be no cost to the district. Mm-hmm. So if we assume that our current contract is based on, let's say, 9 transfers a month, then they don't get anything for 9 transfers. But if they do 20, we simply reimburse the overhead for those extra transfers. They just break even. We keep the rest, but at least we're not penalizing the service for doing extra work. And most of these transfers are the request of the medical people. It has a lot to do with severity of illness. It also has a lot to do with the services being provided in neighboring hospitals. And I would say the standard of care in a rural hospital is to transfer more than we used to. We don't keep things at an acuity or a severity level that we used to. The other thing is we've moved away from calling life flight on a lot of things. One, because of cost, probably the primary one, but two, because there's some hazards associated with flying that are greater than driving. In any case, if you don't fly, that means Buffalo EMS is driving to Billings or Casper. So I don't think the current contract reflects the overhead cost for Buffalo EMS in a service that's evolving into more transfers. So this is a way to make it equitable without really spending anything that we haven't already collected in excess of our budget. So that to me seemed a fair and equitable solution to the billing issue. And if the trend doesn't continue, then there's no reimbursement.
Sure. No, yeah, I think I'm definitely in agreement of that. Is it where we want to start? I mean, I guess what I'm looking at is when are we looking at starting at budget time or now, and then how do we reflect that in our budget?
I feel like it should be reflected going forward in the next budget. That's my opinion. We're not budgeted for it right now, and I think, and I don't know what would be, I think I like that idea better than just 15%, because on the out-of-county stuff, we know that's all pretty much done. But there was quite a little money went to Buffalo EMS to do those out-of-county transfers. Plus, they brought a lot of money into the rural health care district while they were doing those out-of-county transfers. This says all, it said all transfers? Were you talking still 30% of the out-of-county transfers and then 15% of the in-county transfers and, or
doesn't
how
apply,
is that all going to?
Doesn't apply to out-of-county. And there's no percentage on in-county after 9. You don't, there's no percent to calculate. It's simply what?
Well, they're saying they wanted 15% of all transfers.
Well,
in county.
I'm just sharing my idea. It's not that idea.
Yeah, that's what I say. I think I would be more apt to go with what you're doing, because I don't know if flat 15% of every transfer, what that would dollar amount would end up being based on the transfers that we've had this year, as opposed to doing what you're talking about doing. I don't know what the dollar difference would be.
I think maybe I'm misunderstanding. I think they're saying the same thing.
I think I agree with that.
Is that different than what you had before? Sorry.
Well, yeah, it's different than our initial, because we just gave a percentage.
Okay, and you're saying not percentage.
Actual is what you're saying.
Oh, okay.
After so many calls, an average of 9, which is what our average was for a number of years. And
what I want to see the paperwork that says what you actually budgeted for as far as transfers. What did you, when you...
We budgeted based...
Because you came to the Rural Healthcare District with your annual proposal, and my thought, too, was like, well, maybe in the annual proposal, if we look at those out-of-county transfers, maybe that money just goes into that annual dollar amount that everybody agrees on, rather than messing around with all this other stuff.
In-county or out-of-county?
In-county.
Oh, you said out-of-county.
No, I meant...
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, because we already know what they get for in out-of-county, but...
Well...
Would that be... I suppose that might be on the rural.
So you're kind of thinking just pick a number?
I guess it would be more realistic to just have pay as they come on a monthly basis, like what Dr. Schuler's saying. My original thought was they know how many transfers they've had this year. Okay, they've been up and they keep going up.
What's the
and
total?
So when you come to the board with your proposal, you go, well, we're going to figure on, but that would probably end up costing the Rural Healthcare District more to pay than if we just pay the, but
yeah,
that
we
was
don't,
my original idea.
That's
but,
how we, when we met with Brittany and Marie, it's kind of like, okay, show me your payroll data and show me based on last year's. Well, if we have to guess what is coming up and we guess wrong, it's costly.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the hole. And I provided those figures to Marie and Brittany last year, where we were last year. And then we try to add a little bit, knowing that there's a trend and some growth and population growth. But
you never know.
If we guess too high, we keep the money. I think this eliminates that.
I think it's a better idea.
Where we would keep that, it would just be above, let's say, 9. I think it's more transparent, and that way when we come to the board with our budget proposal and it's cut.
Right. Because it probably will be.
Yeah. So,
I don't
know
that. I see
you're
what
you're saying. Okay, why didn't you come with a higher budget amount?
I'm just,
we did.
I'm
come with a higher
saying
budget amount.
Like, maybe that's something we needed to look at going forward in this next budget. But I think if we're going to pay more to Buffalo EMS to do transfers, then I like, because that's over and above, they're already getting paid for, plus their 30%, plus their lift fees, plus their standbys that they're getting that they didn't get before.
They're not getting lift fees.
Not lift fees, but standby.
Yes,
but we pretty much agreed that any county entity is not being charged a standby.
However,
because of that policy.
Buffalo EMS did.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
Because of the debacle at the KC meeting where standbys came up and the amount and what we, you know, we went through that. We don't need to go through that again.
No, we don't. I'd rather
we
not.
Did not charge football. We did not charge county fair. There are very few, maybe one or two a year. And it's not a moneymaker because we pay our EMTs to sit there at these community events. And so saying that Buffalo EMS gets 30% of this and lift fees and standbys, it sounds glorious, but it's not. And 30% of one trip.
Well, now 30% isn't going to add up to very much.
No, because we're
but
doing
it was
one,
adding
eight,
up to quite
one.
A little when you were
it
doing
would have
more.
Been, but we
it
didn't
was.
Get 30% there.
They weren't getting
no,
30.
You got 15.
They
were only getting
15. And that covered costs. And I showed that data that it covered our costs.
Yeah. Well,
so
I
there was no
think
profit
if we're going to do it
for us,
we're going to start paying for transfers. I think I would be more apt to go with Dr. Schuler's idea and pay actual costs.
And what is that when you say actual costs? Could you define?
Labor, people on the ambulance, and fuel.
And those rates are standard. Well, it depends on if you're an advanced or a basic, but you know, I can easily give you that those rates.
And those transfers, when you said they do more work, they're however you worded that about doing transfers. That's pretty standard for a private ambulance service to provide transfers. I mean, I don't look at that as being extra work. I look at the out-of-county transfers as being a huge thing that Buffalo EMS stepped up and did. But in-county, that to me is just one of the things our ambulance service is expected to do.
I think our ambulance service is expected to do in-county at a reasonable number of in-county transfers. Right. I think it's a huge jump when we say we're averaging, I mean, like the last meeting we talked about 10 was kind of the number where we like, okay, that's kind of our average. But when it jumps to 27 and there might've been a month where it was higher than that, I'm not necessarily saying, and I don't think Buffalo EMS is saying that that's sort of over there, they're doing this benefit. But I think what we're saying is we have to at least be able to say, like, nobody anticipated 27 transfers a month. And 27 transfers a month to billing, say, I mean, that's 6 hours where you no longer have, however, a driver and two EMTs available. And so I think the biggest thing that we need to look at is just also, too, is to say, in somewhat of a sense, to, like, recognize the people who are taking 27 transfers a month as well, and saying we're not, I guess I don't think at all that it's sort of unreasonable to pay this 15%. I think that it is their, quote, job, but it's beyond what was expected. I don't think 20, you know.
And we're getting the income.
Because we're close to...
For those transfers.
Yeah, I think it would be different if we were losing money on 27 transfers.
$3,000 to $6,000 a throw.
Yeah.
I guess that
To answer your question, Adam, sorry. We were at 84% increase in transfers, 113 in nurse transfers.
Yeah.
It has decreased to be about 50% over. But if you consider...
Because we're about...
That's significant, I mean, still.
Yeah, I think from the numbers you sent, we're probably at close to 100 for the year already, right? And two or three years ago, that's what you guys did in a year.
Yeah.
Right? So we're almost double from, you know, a few years ago. And I think Dr. Schuler put it well. It's win-win, whether it's one transfer or 20 transfers, but it helps if this can help them predict and project those costs and... And where it's a little, we're not saying, hey, budget for 30 a month next year, and then they don't have them, and we're out. Or they budget for 10, and they're getting taken it in the short. So
I just think it's a nice compensation, though. Yeah. So in this last contract,
can I finish real quick, though?
Oh yes.
Yeah. Sorry. No, I just wanted one more thought. But I'm in favor of it. Also, I'm not opposed to the percentage, even if it was 10%. Of every transfer not start at 9 or 15, whatever that number is, just because you could get to 9, you could have 9, no, the first 9 could all be to Sheridan, the next 15 could be to Billings and Casper or Denver, and then it's not predictable for us either. So I think if we did a percentage just off of everyone that they can say, you know, it's covering cost and it's relative, whether it's to the airport or Billings, if 10, 15%, is helping cover that. It takes unpredictability out for us if those ones after 9 are big ones.
Yeah, but Dr. Schuler, you're thinking pay 100% of the fuel and labor costs of the out of county transfers after 9 or in county transfers after 9 transfers. Isn't that what I understood you said? Not a percent of those
just reimbursed. those expenses.
The actual cost.
And I like that too. I'm just saying if after nine, again, then you could get like, yeah, the first few.
And it's not a, it's just 100% of payroll and fuel. I mean, it's just their cost. So we're still getting.
Yeah, I guess it's relative to.
What I started to say is in the new contract, Rural Healthcare District is covering all the maintenance, all the tires, all that stuff on the ambulances. So that took that cost away from Buffalo EMS. So that should have helped somewhere because they're not covering that those costs anymore. So if they're on a transfer and.
But that's different. That maintenance and all that cost is different than the payroll cost that you budget.
Yeah, it
for.
Is. But what I'm saying is in the contract, we did do that for Buffalo EMS.
We've hired two additional full-time EMTs because we were down to the bare minimum.
Yeah.
So we needed
I guess what I'm trying to say is that we didn't give you everything you want, but we did take some costs back on the shoulder of the Rural Healthcare District So I just don't want to make it look like the Rural Healthcare District's just being stingy, I guess.
No, I think they've acknowledged this was unforeseen at the last budget. I don't think anyone accepted the last budget, and they knew this was coming in these amount of numbers on these transfers. So, but I don't know if that's something we.
Well, we're not budgeted for it. Yeah. So,
but we didn't budget for the additional income that is coming in either. I mean, we didn't project that income.
No, but
yeah.
If so, we're gonna. You know, where's that? What's that going to come out of?
There's no way you can lose, Marilyn, because
yeah,
this
I know
is
you
only
can't.
Dividing up surplus.
Yeah. But where are you going to take it out of? Are you
going to
just write it? So you just, where does that come out of our budget?
When you get extra revenue?
No. Yeah. I mean, to write the check, what line item, where does that come out of our budget?
To reimburse labor. And
would it be the same as... Like reimbursing the out-of-county transfers, we just cut Buffalo EMS a check. And as long as we don't go over our bottom line, we're okay.
Well, if we had to make an amendment to the contract in order to reimburse expenses for, should we call them unexpected transfers or transfers in excess of
budgeted amounts or whatever.
Yeah,
transfers.
I think it's good to show in your budget where the money goes, but you will have the money. It's not as though you're going to be reducing the amount of revenue because that's gone up.
I don't know where you would take that from, though.
We'd have to do a budget amendment.
Right, and add another line.
Yeah, where it says out of county transfers, I think we just have.
As we talk about this is a good segue, and I spaced it when we were approving the agenda. But I talked to Porter Muirhead, and it's my understanding that we used to, before I became on the board, use Cloud Peak Accounting as sort of like auditing plus accounting, right? And right now we have no one to ask accounting questions to. Because Porter Muirhead is simply our audit. They're not. So I talked to Cindy, and she said that they would be happy to take us on as accounting if we had. And she said, if you email me with the simple accounting question that no research has to be done for, I'll email you right back, and we will not charge you anything for that. She said, if we have to do a lot of digging and investigating, it's $300 an hour that they'll bill. So, however, I feel like we don't have anyone to ask.
But the State Board of Audit, I think, can help us with compliance, and they're not going to charge us.
Okay.
These are not fancy questions.
Yeah.
These are pretty simple accounting questions.
And Cindy said she'll answer any simple question like this without any charge to us as well. So just so we know that as we move forward, if we needed to ask a question like, because she knows our book so well, hey, where would we pull from this as we do this? She would be able to answer that.
So we're almost the end of our fiscal year. So on an average, and I can't remember, Carrie, I know you put that document out for us. What was the average number of transfers this fiscal year from July 1 of 23 to June of 24? What do you think? I mean, because like Dr. Schuler said, this month we're at 9, some months we're at 10, okay. Some months we're at, so.
So you went for starting this fiscal year or last fiscal year?
I think, well.
The last 6 months.
The last 6 months, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
About 16 months.
I have the email you sent us, Carrie, if you don't have it.
Well, I have July through December.
Yeah, that's
what. And we've had 103 total transfers.
In county.
In county, yes, in county.
That'd be 17, a little over 17 a month.
And you budgeted for 9 or 10, right?
The last board meeting, we talked about 10.
Well,
and we've had 10 the last 2 months. We've already had several transfers this month, and 2 with nurses, which is contrary to last month. So, I mean, it's so unpredictable, so unpredictable.
So on an average, then?
I would say an average is 10, and that's kind of what we budget for.
If we were to do it now.
So if that's what you budget for, mm-hmm. and the average for the last year is 10.
But I don't think I don't think we can any more go off average.
The average is 17 for the last six months.
But we're not averaging. We wouldn't average anything as we move forward. I guess that's where I don't think average really comes into play at all.
No, I'm just thinking of where to come up with the bottom number of transfers. You're going to stay with 10? Would you say, okay, anything over 17 transfers?
Well, right now, they're budgeted for 10, right?
Yeah, and we can, that can be in the contract negotiations, the amount. It kind of depends on if we increase our request from 10 to 17, because it went from 10 to 17. It's how you want
to. But then we wouldn't do the percentage. That's what they're saying. Do you want them to ask for 17, and then that's what they budget?
No, I'm talking 17. I'm just saying,
what's
the number? I mean, you're saying right now, anything over 10 transfers, we're going to pay labor and fuel on to Buffalo EMS. Is that the number we want to settle on, or do we want to settle on 17? Or do we want to, that's just all I'm asking. And I'm just throwing it out there for discussion.
Sure, no, yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that in terms of talking with Buffalo EMS, that because 17 has never been a monthly average, that's what's been budgeted for. I mean, 17 is even like, whew, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot too.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a higher majority of those are nurse transfers, and that is a big expense.
It is.
And you never know the nurse transfer. You never know when you get called if it's going to require a nurse transfer, which is a huge expense. So I guess I just think 10 is a good working number. The thing is I think, like Dr. Schuler said, it's a win-win, and we have talked with Carrie before, and despite the issues that had happened prior with the information being leaked, I know you're more than willing to tell us the exact payroll amount that it takes to send a nurse, or that it takes to send Bonnie on a transfer. Like, well, there's not going to be room for inflation.
No.
You know?
You can see the actual, what we pay.
Yeah. And the fuel receipt that,
yes.
So,
mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I think that, to me, it's also just ensuring that our residents of Johnson County know that when they are transferred to a higher facility, there's going to be an ambulance and a crew that's going to take them.
And then they're not going to lose by taking on that additional responsibility.
Yeah.
Well, I'm...
Who's taking on the additional responsibility?
Not addition, like just...
I meant additional transfers beyond what they budgeted for.
Yeah.
Fiscal responsibility.
I'll talk to the state board about it, about the accounting of this, so that they like what we submit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we probably will have to make an amendment.
Sure.
And what that entails as well.
And then we will also have to amend the contract, which... Why? With the wording of the contract as it is easily amendable.
Right. To say what?
Whatever.
Just what we just said.
To whatever is decided. Greater than 10 transfers, payroll and fuel will be provided.
Yeah,
reimbursed.
I think that has to be in there if we're going to start writing checks and changing the terms of the contract.
And again, we just have to look at it too. And I don't remember if about the out-of-county transfers, but is it once we get the, once the bill... Wasn't that
once
something with the out-of-county trends? Once
yeah,
we've received...
Yeah, received payment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing in advance.
And you want to start doing this right now?
Well, Dr. Shuler is going to talk to the State Board of Audit.
Okay.
So I think we can plan to vote on it at the next meeting.
Okay.
And make it active then as well. I don't know why not. It's not going to be... a fiscal year, but so what?
Yeah.
As long as they approve that, there's no reason really not to, right? I mean, we're not out anything.
Yeah, I think it's fair, and I don't see a risk. And, it, you know, next time we talk about contract, we can decide if it's working and... someday the contract situation probably warrants another serious look at the whole process. It seemed to me like it was more difficulty than I would expect it would need to be. I'll leave it at that. So I will report back next month with the accounting requirements, and assuming that's doable.
I think it will be. I just want to make sure that we do it right.
I just don't want to keep kicking the can down the road. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No, thanks. Thanks for checking on that, Doc.
Mutual aid agreement. Crosby hasn't got, has he talked to you, with you? He hasn't got back with me with the actual contract for the mutual aid agreement. He was going to take it back, right? Sounded like he was going to take it back to Campbell County.
Oh, okay. No.
No? Okay.
Not yet.
Okay. So we'll table that, Teresa, the mutual aid agreement, till the next meeting. And I will see where we're at with that. I'm sorry, Shane. I missed you. Sorry. We can go back to transfers. You had raised your hand. I apologize.
I was just going to say some of the accounting questions and budget stuff. The city's full-time CPA might be able to help guide you through some of that. She works with almost every municipality in the state helping them. So.
Okay.
She'll kind of punch me in the head for a second.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Is there any old business that we didn't discuss, a call for old business? New business, we already discussed the grant paperwork. Is there any new business anyone would like to discuss at this time? Okay, now is an opportunity for public comment. Is there any public comment? Okay, vouchers.
Awesome.